This morning, it's a miracle this message is here on the pulpit because I misplaced it the first time and found it at my front door. I misplaced it the second time and found it at the front door of the church. And so that gives you a little bit of a state of my mind at the moment. So I apologize. So getting this message out, let's just ask for God's help. For us all, it was time of year because, this is a time to celebrate, and I'd like for this message to be just that. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we have cause to celebrate, and thank you that we have cause to celebrate every day, but in particular this time of Advent where we wait upon you and we revisit the story of your coming. Of the incarnation, the word become flesh. We thank you, Lord, that you're willing to come and then, not only that, to lay down your life on our behalf, that we might in turn have life through you, resurrection life, and that we get to celebrate that life together. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us receive whatever it is you would say to us today, and that life would come through your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so as Kate has already pointed out, there is something that has been taking place behind me. Each Sunday, each Advent Sunday, there's been an unfolding image, stained glass artwork being installed up behind me. And hopefully, as those sections have appeared, it's become a kind of unified story. I was going to say a whole, but that is W-H. O-L-E, not spelt the other way. The Bible has lots and lots of metaphors in it, doesn't it, to tell the story of God and Christ. And so the reader is often left to interpret those metaphors to find meaning from the message. Now, for fear of breaking the fourth wall, or whatever you like to call it, I'm going to sort of for a moment step in between the art and the viewer. And real artists don't do this. I mean, Bob Dylan, if you asked him the meaning of his song, he'd just sneer something cynical back at you. I'm not going to do that. This is just my perspective as I've, I guess, been working on this, and it's been a kind of meditation upon the Advent story and message this morning. So the first Advent Sunday, hope was installed. And hope is essentially... Well, it's essential for life, isn't it? Without hope, life is very challenging. And the Bible says that the absence of a hope makes hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. So we need hope in life. And it is Jesus' presence and power in the believer's life that releases that hope into us and heals the broken parts of our heart that need his healing. And so beginning from that tiny seed of hope, of course, we see something sprouting up. And it's growing up into the light, isn't it? Its movement is upwards. And so for that hope to grow, the second Advent word we had was encouragement. For hope to grow, we need encouragement. And that encouragement actually comes, it doesn't really originate in ourselves. It comes from outside of ourselves, doesn't it? So in this particular imagery, there is this word of encouragement that is kind of raining down, isn't it? When you look at it, again, this is just my interpretation, but it's the very word itself. It's Jesus incarnate, the word of God taking on flesh, coming down and living amongst us. It nourishes us to know this. It encourages us that the word is, it waters that seed of hope growing in us. And thirdly, and today, is our word celebration. And this message is based around that. So we have hope take root in our lives, becoming established, being encouraged by the word of God, the fellowship of the believers, and so much more. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit feeding our faith, growing our faith. And we have companions along the way for that kind of pilgrimage. And the fruit that comes from a Christ-centric life. And it begins to appear in our lives, doesn't it? Or hopefully it does. And that fruit grows and it ripens. And it actually is Jesus himself. As we abide in him, the fruit of his Spirit manifests itself in the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, Jesus is the master vintner. Like, he took 600 or about 680 liters of water, and in a moment he changed them into wine. And it wasn't any old wine. I mean, it's clear from the story that this was really, really good wine, guys. So what he wants to grow in us is the good stuff, Dennis. Anyway, where do we first see this take place? His first miracle takes place at a wedding feast, which is, after all, a celebration, isn't it? So that says a lot, I think, about who Jesus is and how he comes to us in the form of celebration. We have a great deal to celebrate because of him. He is the agent of change. He's the one that takes the water and changes it to wine, if you like, and he produces good stuff in us. And that has the effect of being in us, but also it brims over. That is the life that he's come to give us. It's a brimming over life. It's not just contained. And so out of him, we find that we brim over with the life that he gives us. The Advent painting that has taken shape up here has taken I say 3 weeks, but it hasn't been worked on constantly. But essentially, it's taken 3 weeks for this to come together, which, if you were thinking of it in terms of a vintner, that is a commercial vintner's dream. You plant the vine, and in 3 weeks' time, you're pressing the grapes and drinking the spoils. However, we know life is not actually really like that, isn't it? And Jesus short-circuited that process that's what we call a miracle. The miracle that takes place in our lives, the life that he brings into our lives, takes place over a period of time, doesn't it? It needs time for maturation. And I think that's why Advent's a great time for us to pause. Okay, it's just a small act of resistance in the busyness of life, to pause for 4 weeks and to think about what difference it makes that Jesus has come and what we ourselves can enjoy through his coming, that we can reflect and celebrate the life of Christ in us. It's a time to remember who is our hope. And I haven't been doing my PowerPoints, have I? So we'll just catch up a bit. Carried away in the moment. Okay, so that's getting ahead of ourselves. That is what we're talking about, celebration. I like to think of celebration as the kind of word that has a quality about it that is, as I've said, a cup overflowing. And in Psalm 23, we know these words, don't we? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And then it goes on to say that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil, and our cup overflows. It overflows. It goes on to say that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I like a comment that Mark Trewivers made when he visited our church. He's a missionary whom, with his family, we support overseas. And he made this comment, and I've always remembered it. He said, we need to let Jesus out. We need to let Jesus out. He's in us, but we need to let him out. We need to overflow with his presence in our lives. The thing is, can we truly contain the uncontainable Christ? If he's in us, we can't contain that. He is going to overflow. If he's truly in us, he's going to overflow in our lives, just as the fruit is on the vine. If we abide in him, then he will be manifest in our lives, outworking his purposes and blessing others. Now, I need to say, in all this talk of celebration, that I know, as they say, that life is not just beer and skittles. I know that there is a time for everything. And we see that reflected in Ecclesiastes, where it talks about that there are times for certain things. And in our cup of life, it can contain many, many things. I know this. So that on one hand, we live in the tension of the now and not yet. We can celebrate, but we can still experience the challenge of things that they talk about in Ecclesiastes that cause us to weep. But we can also experience things that cause us to laugh. There is also a time when we may mourn, but there will always come a time when we can also dance, which my wife is quite prone to and I love about her. So we see something of this happening in Mary. And Mary, when she's informed that she is carrying the hope of the world in her womb, she takes off, hurries off, it says in the word, to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth in the hills of Judea. And so she goes off, and upon greeting Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb, that's miraculously there also, actually leaps for joy, celebrates in the presence of our Lord. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she breaks into this beautiful, poetic praise, ecstatic praise of what God has done in Mary on behalf of them both. Two mothers with that expectancy and joy. And then Mary, unable to contain her joy, bursts into song. And she sings the song, which is a song that has been repeated down the ages. It's been whispered in the monasteries, it's been chanted in cathedrals, it's been repeated in small churches like this around the world, and it is a beautiful song. It's Johann Sebastian Bach has set it to music. And so this song has become loved and is very famous, and it's taken on this really interesting name called Magnificat. I always think of Lynn when I think of this. It's just so cat-centric, isn't it? But it's actually Christ-centric. It's not about cats at all. It's the Magnificat. And so I thought we might just have a look at the words from this wonderful song this morning, the Magnificat. And as I read them, they'll be up on the screen. Well, I'm not going to sing it, Brian, but I will tell you a really interesting song about someone singing to me, but that comes in a moment. So, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but he's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but he's sent the rich away hungry, empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham, his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. So this is a beautiful song, and we're going to have the opportunity to sing it together at one point. Not the exact words. I think if we tried the Johann Sebastian Bach version, we would really struggle. So I found a contemporary version. But before we do that, I mean, singing... I've got a story. So this took place in England, and I was in the High Street of England with Kate, my wife, and we went into a men's department store, High Street store, well-known one, won't name it. And I was going through the clothing racks, looking at clothes, and the assistant came up to me, and, you know, I was prepared, as you are, you know, because you don't want to be messed around with. I said, look, I'm only looking. And then, and my voice, I can't sing very well, but this is how it unfolded. Well, maybe I can help you. And I'm like, what do you do? Well, maybe you could. And And I thought, okay, so that's just this little line to get me, you know, to snap me into, you know. But no, it carried on. It went on, didn't it? It went on. He didn't back down. And so, like, I'm looking at, I think that shirt would go well with that tie. And then in my distress and need to sort of identify, I thought perhaps it would. And we just started singing. And it, like, but you know, like in that context, it's completely out of place. So when we read about Mary bursting into song, we're like, well, yeah, it's generally not what happens. I mean, you may have acquaintances. I've got a few who that's their go-to. But generally speaking, that's not our go-to, is it? But this song is a very, very powerful song. It's so powerful that it speaks to the powers. If you look at the lyrics, if you like, it is full of messianic promise. It is loaded about what God has done through Christ. So it's not premature to be singing this as a celebration song, because it is what he's already done in a sense. And I'm not talking about triumphalistic Christianity that just plows through every heartache as if it's never happening. I'm talking about the living into that victory now, because we know how the story goes. And that's the beauty of it, isn't it? It's a beautiful story. And there have been powers down through last century at least who've recognized this, and they've reacted because they have realized that this is dangerous stuff. For instance, in Guatemala, the government there banned the song because it was thought to have a revolutionary appeal. Well, it has, folks. It has, if it transforms your heart. If only they knew that the listeners and the practitioners of Christ's way weren't about to pick up swords and guns, but they were going to be changed and transformed, and they would transform the world by being changed themselves. So that took place under the dictatorship. Then there was a dictator in Argentina during 1976 to 83. They banned the Magnificat. And we mustn't forget the dear old colonialists, the British. They actually also ruled it out of being sung in the churches shortly between the transition into self-rule. So it's fascinating, isn't it? This has been a powerful song. So I thought what we might do this morning, and I know it's very warm in here, so we're going to keep moving along. We're going to do something a little different with communion today. We're going to play this, as I said, contemporary version of the song. It still conveys the meaning. I think it doesn't lose that. And then we're going to be listening to that as we come and take communion from the front this morning. We're not going to hand it through the rows. So this is going to require some of these. I hope it goes well. I'm going to encourage you to do it a certain way. And then when we've all done it, we're going to celebrate together. Okay? So, starting with this side, would you kindly come, and when we come up, we're going to retain the elements, the representations of Jesus' body and blood, and we're going in an anti-clockwise cycle. We're going to go around and back into your seats. Once this row section has done that, we're going to move into, and you guys by then will have got it, nailed it. Yeah, I know what we do, how we do this. So it's important that we do this. And then you guys, sorry, last of all, it's nothing, no slight, but then your turn. Once we've all got the elements, and the song's about 4 minutes long, so it may finish before we've got there, but we're going to have an opportunity, having heard it. We haven't heard the song before. We're going to try and sing it. It's actually quite simple. So once we've received the elements, we're going to take those together, and then we're going to celebrate by endeavouring to sing the song for the first time. How's that? Okay, that's exciting. Okay, so let's start. And we need to... So I've touched upon that in many, many ways. So we'll just go through. I can leave those... Well, I can't now. Sorry. I told you I was a little bit... So I need to get to that video of the song. It's coming. Cool. So if you could cue that up, and then if we could begin to come up. then there you go. Brilliant. Well, it's credit to you guys. Credit to you where it's due. Wow. Yeah, we need another one. Whoop! So, this is encouraging, isn't it, Florence? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Look, I'm going to get, I know just with where I'm at that I'm going to get in a muddle if I go back and try, you know, going through the PowerPoints, but I would encourage you, you know, we still have a little bit of time left with Advent to spend some time in this beautiful song and think about its implications for ourselves and the world we live in. Because this is the hope of the ages. It's Jesus who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he has begun his kingdom and he's coming again to complete and see his kingdom purpose and will fulfilled. And may we be people who delight in his will, walk in his ways to the glory of his name. So Do you feel like singing that song? Are we that adventurous? Okay, so why don't we, let's just now, as we take these elements, remember the Lord. So Lord, we thank you for you freely giving your life on our behalf. And we acknowledge and we confess, Lord, our need before you, that we have missed the mark, that we have sinned against you and against each other at times too. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, cleanse us, and make us new. And so we remember the basis on which that is done. It is by your blood and through your body sacrificed on our behalf. You gave yourself fully for us. So we bless your name. Amen. Let's eat and drink together.
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy, it extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Almighty God, Jesus, Spirit, there is so much for us to celebrate and to give thanks for what you have done, for what you are doing in our midst, and for what is yet to come. And we give you thanks and we give you glory and we give you the honor and the praise that is due to you and to you alone. Spirit of God, I pray you would continue to remind us of the goodness and the beauty and the majesty of Jesus today and in the days to come. That joy would continue to rise. That joy would continue to rise and overflow from us to those who need it, to join with the joy of others, not only around us, but around the world at this time. That our praises would rise to you above every other noise, that our worship would join with those of the angels. To God be the glory, we pray. Amen.